I know passages like Brother Robert read there, Isaiah 11, does really pique our interest, doesn't it? But I'm sorry, I'm not preaching on Isaiah 11 this morning. I am going to refer to it, though. And I'll give you some idea. I preached through the book of Isaiah years ago, and I believe the Lord gave me some understanding of the prophecy here, and I'll deal with some of that. But we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I've been talking about the wisdom of God here in chapter 2. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to take some time. I've really covered this chapter, but I wanted to take some time to go through these last few verses, beginning at verse 14. I quote this one all the time. Verse 14, where it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Now, understand that the natural man is a way of describing unregenerate people. Natural meaning how we are born into this world naturally. And what is that? What does the Bible tell us about that? It tells us that we fell in Adam, fell into sin and death, under the curse of the law. And as a result, we're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. No spiritual life, no spiritual knowledge, no spiritual desires, anything like that. That's spiritual death. Total depravity is what the old theologians called it. And that's a good term for it. And it's the apostle was led by the Spirit to describe it over in chapter 1, verse 18, for example, the preaching of the cross. That's the gospel, the preaching of Christ crucified and risen from the dead. That's his person, his finished work to save us from our sins as our surety, our substitute, our redeemer, the Lord, our righteousness, all of that, his blood, the power. There's power in the blood. That's what the preaching of the cross is. And he says, to them that are perishing, it's foolishness. That's the natural man. I can remember when it was foolishness to me. Until I was born again by the Spirit. And he says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And later on, he talks about how it's the power and the wisdom of God. So the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 14 says, they are foolishness to him. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of this gospel. And he says, neither can he know them. That is, have a saving knowledge of them. You can know what we're saying. You know, it's like I told somebody a couple weeks ago. I said, unbelievers can know exactly what we're saying. They just don't want it. They don't believe it. They don't love it. And he says, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, I'm going to talk about that word discerned. That means to spiritually valued, spiritually understood, spiritually judged. That's what it means. In other words, if we're spiritual, if we've been born again by the Spirit, we know the value of this gospel. We know the value of eternal life. And we know the tragedy of going through this life without it. And he says in verse 15, he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things. And what he's talking about is things pertaining to salvation. Things pertaining to the wisdom of God in Christ. Doesn't mean we're judges of people here on earth. Doesn't mean that we know what's in the heart of every individual. But we know the gospel. We know God. We know his Christ. We know how God saves sinners and how he doesn't save sinners. We know those things. And he says, yet he himself is judged of no man. And think about that. A true believer, a spiritual person, is not discerned by the world. Years ago, I wrote that book, What is a Christian? And I started off to say, the world does not know what a Christian is. Do y'all realize that? They don't know. When I was lost in my sins, unregenerate, I thought I knew what a Christian was, but I didn't. And the Bible tells us that. Think about it. 1 John 3, you know, the world knows us not. They don't know what a child of God. They think somebody who goes to church or has been baptized or is trying to live a good life, that that's a Christian. Well, should Christians be baptized? They should confess Christ. Should they try to live a good life? Yes. But that doesn't distinguish them from the world. And that's what he's saying here. But look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? The issue here is this. All wisdom comes from God. There is no wisdom that we give to God. God is our teacher. We're not his teacher. That's what he's saying here. That puts us in our place. But he says in verse 16, in other words, whatever he's saying here about the wisdom of God, about discernment, it's got to come from God. It's got to come from his word. But he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now that's what I want to focus on. The mind of Christ within us. What a statement. I have the mind of Christ. If I'm a born again person, yes. If I'm regenerate, if I'm a believer, you have the mind of Christ. Think about the perfect, pure mind of our Lord and Savior. He never had a thought of sin. I mean, never had a desire or a thought or an idea. His thoughts were filled with nothing but perfect holiness all the way through. Now, none of us can say that. We can't even sit in church service and not have a sinful thought. Isn't that right? You willing to admit that? I get up here sometimes. I've been sitting in the chair because I get up here now. My hip doesn't hurt if I just stand here for 1 hour. But if my hip starts hurting, I think, daggone it. You know, here I am trying to preach the gospel. Lord, what's wrong with you? What are you doing this to me? You know, that's sinful. But Christ had no sin. He knew no sin. He was the perfect God-man all through his suffering. He didn't sin. He had no thoughts of sin. Was that what we're saying when we say we have the mind? And you know better than that. We know how he thinks, you might say. Well, to a point we do. And the reason is for two things. When we say we have the mind of Christ, and let me just give you these two things, then we'll capitalize on them. Number one, we have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And he knows the mind of our Lord. The Bible says that up here, verse 12, he says, now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We have the Holy Spirit. He indwells everyone who's born again by the Spirit. And then we have the Word of God right here. You want to know what God thinks? Read his Word. From Genesis to Revelation, if you want to know how Christ thinks, we have his mind right here. What does the Lord say about that? You know, they used to be the popular bracelets, you know, say, what would Jesus do? Well, okay, that's all right. Look in the Bible and see what he would do. When he was dealing with the religious unbelievers of his day, what would he do? Somebody said, well, he'd just be real kind and nice and just, you know, soapy and all of that. No, he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of them, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. He called them vipers. Somebody said, well, he could do that, but we can't. Well, we have the mind of Christ. He says it right here. He wasn't being mean. He was just discerning. He was just making a judgment that you say, well, only he can know that. Well, only he can know what's in the hearts of people. But when we hear people speak out of their hearts, false gospels, false doctrines, how do we react? How do we, even if we don't say anything, in our minds? I told the folks in our first hour, for example, that I was driving here and this morning, and I saw a sign out on a church. You know how they have the signs out there with the sayings on it. And it was asking a question. And it said this, it said, asked this, will anyone be in heaven because of you? Now, how do you discern that? Well, my answer is a flat no. There's no one's going to be in heaven because of me. I won't even be in heaven because of me. The only reason anybody will be in heaven is because of Christ. You say, well, they didn't mean it this way. Okay, I know. Think about the mindset of false religion today, who feel like that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, and we've got to get out there and get as many saved as we can. That's not what the Bible says. That's not the mind of Christ. You understand where I'm going with this? One of the reason I had Brother Robert read that chapter 11, look back there at Isaiah 11. Mainly the first four verses, because it fits right with this message. But I'll just make a statement about the rest of it, just, and you can chew on it for a while. And maybe I'll come back someday and just preach on it. But listen to what he says here in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Christ. That's the coming of the Son. This is a prophecy of the day when Messiah would come. And it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that's Christ, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, power, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, worship. In verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Now this discernment we're talking about, it's not judging by the sight of our eyes, by what we see physically. Okay? And he says, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. It's not just what he hears and what he sees. It's not physical, is what he's saying. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. This is his word. The rod of his mouth is his word. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then he starts talking about the wolf laying down with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, and all that. Now, you know how people say, well, that's talking about the future millennium, where there'll be a kind of a utopia here on earth. Could you imagine a time here on this earth where you would take your little baby and lay it by the a cobra? Say, now play with that, honey. That's not what he's talking about. Some say, well, he's talking about the new heavens and the new earth. And I know in the new heavens and the new earth, it will be a utopia. It will be a perfect world. There won't be any bloodshed or killing or anything like that. I know that's true. But you know what he's talking about here? He's talking about the gospel. Talking about the church age, where he takes natural enemies who would normally kill each other, he brings them together under the gospel. That's what he's talking about. And he uses symbolic language like a wolf and a lamb and all that. He goes on to talk about Jew and Gentile here. Remember Ephesians chapter 2? He said he's broken down the middle wall partition. He's brought peace. That's what he's talking about. And it's not a utopia, it's just this condition that God brings about where there's peace between God and his people and between them and each other. And what's it based upon? It's based upon having the mind of Christ. Thinking like he thought. Think about it. We who are saved have his Spirit and his word to instruct us, to guide us, to energize us, to motivate us. And that's the attitude and mindset which seeks to glorify and honor God above all things. I'd like to be a friend to everyone, wouldn't you? I'd like for everybody to like me. But you know what I want more? I want God to be glorified. That's what I want to do this morning. I want you to like what I'm saying, but if you don't like what I'm saying, as long as I'm glorifying God, I'm okay with it. That's what I want to do. I want to glorify him. That's why Paul said up here in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the heart that is established with grace and stands fast in liberty, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the mind of Christ. He said it. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the love of God shed abroad within our hearts that causes us to stand together in the faith. Brings us together. People who are different walks of life, different ideas, different likes and dislikes, but brought together under the gospel. Knowing that salvation's of the Lord. It means that we have the ability to estimate the true value of things when we have the mind of Christ in matters of eternal life. Let me give you these things. Number one, we have the mind of Christ when we receive Christ by God-given faith and he's set before us in the gospel. The righteousness of God. That's what he's talking about. He says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. But think about it. Look over at John chapter 1. Let me show you this. In John chapter 1, talking about Christ, who is the eternal Word, who is the incarnate Word. And it says in verse 11 of John chapter 1, listen to this. It says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. That's the natural man. Why won't the natural man receive him, believe in him, rest in him? Because we esteem him not, Isaiah 53 says. In our estimation, naturally speaking, this one who is identified and described in the gospel of salvation by the grace of God based on his righteousness, in our natural estimation, we discern that he's not worth it. He's not worth me giving up my family, my friends, my religion. We esteem him not. But look at verse 12. He says, but as many as received him. Now there's some who receive him. And he says, they believe in him. They rest in him. They esteem him. And he says, to them gave he power, which means the right, to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Now look at verse 13, which were born not of blood. This doesn't come through natural means, pedigree, nor the will of the flesh. I believe that's the works of the flesh, nor the will of man. It's not by man's free will decision, but they're born of God. What he's talking about. In order to have the mind of Christ, we must be born again. In order to have faith in Christ, we must be born again. In order to repent from our dead works, make an assessment, a discernment, that all that I can do is nothing, all that Christ did is everything, I've got to be born again. And that's how we have the mind of Christ. Here's the second thing. We have the mind of Christ when we judge matters of salvation according to his Spirit and his Word. Now, I can't judge everybody. You can't judge everybody. You don't know what's in the hearts of everybody. But we can know the truth. We can know what's wrong and what's right. By nature, we don't. You know, one of the indictments that's brought against the natural man in the Old Testament is this. He calls good evil and evil good. And look over at Hebrews chapter 5 with me. One of the things that is significant in the book of Hebrews is to be able to discern between good and evil. Somebody says, well, preacher, I know what's right and what's wrong. To a point you may. But when it comes to the matters of salvation, when it comes to the matters of righteousness, how God saves sinners, do I know what's right and wrong? Well, if I have the mind of Christ, I do. Look here in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5. He says, for when the time come, you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He's talking to people who had claimed to be believers for a long time, but they had not grown. And what was their problem? Look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness, now, that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Christ, who is our righteousness. He's a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, that is mature or complete, even those who by reason of use, using the word, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, one of the strongest statements in the Bible concerning the mind of Christ in discerning between good and evil is found in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. I'll just read it for you. Christ said unto religious people, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. What the natural man highly esteems, God hates. Think about that. Now think about the Savior standing in judgment of religious people who come to him and say, Lord, haven't we preached in your name? Lord, haven't we prophesied? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? And in his mind, his discernment, he makes this judgment, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's the mind of Christ. Why would he say such things about what men highly esteem? Preaching in his name, casting out demons, many wonderful works. Why would he say that? Because if you're skillful in the word of righteousness, you know that none of those things that they highly esteem measure up to the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. Paul came to that conclusion. All those things that he highly esteemed as a lost person. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I now count them but dung. Here's my discernment. Here's the mind of Christ. I count those things but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. You see the difference? When I read a statement like that, will anyone be in heaven because of you? What's the mind of Christ towards such a statement? It's an abomination. Salvation is not based on what you do or I do. Oh, I know God uses pitiful instruments like us to accomplish his will, but we understand something. We discern something by the mind of Christ that it's all of him. It's not conditioned on you or me. There's not one person for whom Christ died who's not going to enter heaven. And if he uses us in some small way, who gets the glory? God does. Not me. I'm not going to stand before the Lord and say, now, Lord, I led 120 people to Christ. No. Thank God salvation's conditioned on him. Do you discern that? This is the light that comes into the world that men by nature hate. Because they don't discern. They have no discernment of the mind of Christ. But we know what it is. Righteousness. Who's righteous in God's sight? Well, we judge or discern righteousness by his mind. And what did he say? He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. God said that he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Somebody comes and says, well, I want to tell you what I did for the Lord, you know. Well, what do we discern about that? Stop telling me what you did for the Lord and start telling me what he's done for you. Because there's the rub, isn't it? There's the key. Somebody says, well, he enabled me to save myself. That's evil. He's enabled me to stop sinning, to sin less, and to be holier and holier and holier. I'm so much better than what I was before. What's your discernment of that? Do you have the mind of Christ? What would Christ say about that? What Paul, the apostle who had the mind of Christ, say? He said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Somebody said, well, he's just talking about his past. Oh, no, that's present tense, friend. That's how Paul saw him. That's how I see myself. How do you discern this? What is the mind of Christ on this? I'll tell you how it is. If God were to judge me right now based upon my best, I would go to hell. That's the case. And that brings us to this. We judge our salvation by his mind. Not by what we see. Somebody does this, does that, and the world applauds. Look at 1 John 5. That I read in the opening. John makes this statement, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. What a statement. The whole world lies in wickedness. What's he talking about, the whole world? He's talking about the unbelieving world. He's talking about the world of the non-elect. How do we know we are of God then? How can we separate ourselves from that unbelieving world? Look at verse 20. We know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. We have his mind, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, little children, keep yourself from idols. Discern between what's good and evil. What does the Bible teach me in the wisdom of God? It teaches me that I'm a sinner who deserves nothing and can earn nothing but eternal damnation and death. It teaches me that I'm in need of a righteousness that I cannot produce with or without the help of God. I pray every day, God, help me. Help me to what? Help me to stay focused on Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. Help me not to focus in on this individual up here and derive any comfort or assurance from what I do or don't do. Help me to look to Christ, to focus on Christ, to stay on Christ, to glorify him, to follow him. Help me, dear Lord. What can he do for me? What he has done for me. He is my assurance. We preached, we learned of it today. David's last word, this is a covenant that God made with us, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. This is all my desire. You know, one of the biggest problems with people today, and I say this by experience, I'm not just dissing on them, is looking within themselves to find grounds for assurance. Have I done enough? Have I prayed enough? Have I obeyed enough? All of that. And the answer to the question is, enough for what? Have I prayed enough to plead my righteousness before God, to make myself better in order for God to accept me? And I tell you right now, no, I haven't. The issue is not finding things within ourselves to gain our assurance. The issue is looking unto Christ. That's the mind of Christ. That's the discernment that we need. When people preach false gospels, what do we discern? That's idolatry. That's lostness. That's no hope in the mind of Christ. And so what do we do? Well, we look to Him and pray to Him. Lord, keep us from the evil one. Lord, keep us from idols. Lord, preserve us by Your grace through the blood and righteousness of Christ. All right.